This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Why did you cry twice yesterday?
So is this music video on? The song had to do with, I know a few things a man ought to know.
Yeah, I know a few things a man ought to know.
He's trying to go get money because they need money, and he ends up robbing a liquor store. And,
oh, uplifting. You're not going to cry now, are you?
No, I'm not going to cry now, but we start talking about the Jets, I may cry.
I'd like to make you cry today.
You could.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I have nothing. If I can make you cry, that would make me feel good.
On 98.7 ESPN.
How to know when it's love, how to stay when it's
Let's just let it play out, the whole thing.
How to chase forever down a driveway.
It is very emotional, this song. Right, time for Straight Talk, right, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I don't understand how you think it's somehow defending the guy. He's committing burglary, and that makes you cry?
No, but it has nothing to do with that. I'm not condoning the burglary.
Well, it sounds like you might be.
No, I'm not. You know how I feel about burgling. You're like, wait, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, how it unfolds is sad because he comes, I mean, he...
How about get a job?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would make the most sense.
How about put your boots on and go out there and do some work?
Yeah, I mean, he's run out of answers.
There's a zero chance I would burgle a house.
Every place you can't. I mean, you turn on the TV, please. We're looking for workers. You go in, Indeed. There's jobs all over the place. And this guy, he takes the easy way out.
Well, not so easy as it turns out.
He's a loser, is what this guy is.
Because his accomplice gets shot.
And you're falling for it.
Well, his accomplice gets shot, and then he ends up back home, and he gets arrested on the front lawn.
Good. I'm glad.
His daughter sees it.
Good. Well, you know what? Good for her. It's an early lesson for her. Your father's a criminal.
Great.
Your father's a criminal.
Sweet. Awesome. Next on the stage.
You know that guy's a Cowboys fan, by the way.
See, why? I don't understand why it always has to go back to that. I mean, why are you so nasty?
Why am I so nasty? Because I have nothing. When you have nothing, then you can just explode at any moment. Right,
you have nothing holding you back. You wonder why Anthony Brown decided he wanted to score at the end of that game. You know what?
But of course, what a dumb call that was. Of course,
that
he should have scored.
Of course, he's going to score.
He's got a pick six. He's going to be like, no, let me take a knee. Of course not.
I could have sworn Bart had you sold that the Giants were going to go into Dallas and win.
You know what? Can you? I know giving me credit is something you don't like to do, because I know that behind closed doors, when you're on the K show all over the place, you don't care for me. All right, you say you do, but in fact, I don't think that that's accurate. But can you at least give me a little credit for not at all getting overly excited with the Giants last week against the Saints?
No, I give you credit. I absolutely give you credit. I just try to pump you up because I want you to be into the football season. I don't want you to be like you've been, which is just apathetic, which is
dead. Not my fault. It's not my fault.
Like, I don't need you, coming on the Zoom with pajamas on, like, just... No, that's not what people want. They want raw Rothenberg is what they want.
Give him raw.
They want emotional. Yeah. They want out of his mind passion. Well,
I was angry yesterday. You heard me this morning. I'm saying nasty things.
No, that's the nastiest thing I've ever heard said. Ever.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah. RJ, is that the nastiest thing you've ever heard said about a friend?
I'm not even going to allude to what you said. Like, I'm not even going to go down the path.
RJ wants me to walk it back. I told him
during the break, with no one else listening, I said, I can't have that out there. I need you to take it back.
And I won't do it.
I almost want to rent Santiago a car so he can drive home. This is what I want to do.
Well, you know, Ray right now is dead to me.
Well, yeah, well, in theory, yeah, like in your mind, but let's not make it a reality is the point.
Please take it back.
Yeah, you got to take it back, say a prayer, whatever you got to do.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. He's made his own bed.
Swing by the temple. I don't know what you have to do. Call the rabbi. This has to be reversed. Whatever you just threw out into the universe has to be reversed.
Nope. You think I have that kind of power? If I had that kind of power, the Giants wouldn't be 18-49 or 18-50 in the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, ask
clearly
the
I have
fans.
None. Clearly,
yeah, ask
clearly
the I have fans none. If you have that kind of power. If you didn't have that kind of power, the Eagles wouldn't have won a Super Bowl. Let's be honest. You're the reason.
Oh, yeah, I'm the reason.
Oh, you're the reason. You're the reason why the Eagles fans were eating horse poop.
I'm so jacked up right now, I need to eat this horse poop.
I mean, they ate horse feces.
How crazy is that, though? Is that the people in your, like the police in your own city realize that this is going to get so crazy that we need to lube up, streetlight poles.
Yeah, I give credit for that. I wouldn't even have thought of that one. Would you?
No.
All right, let's butter these babies up here. Get some Crisco on here because they'll start climbing these. And what do we do with the horse manure? And there's poop all over the streets. Don't worry. Why? They'll eat that. They'll take care of that for us. So we don't have. In fact, Steve, you know what? That's what the guy should have done. The criminal that robbed the liquor store. Maybe he was like a horse manure cleaner, and they told him, Robbie, take the day off. You don't need to come into work today. Why? Because they'll take care of it for you. They'll eat it for you.
Yeah, so Dave, how are we going to clean up all this dog poop in the backyard? We'll just wait till the Eagles win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll have the city of Philadelphia over. They'll just you know, consume it. Enjoy it. If I saw my dogs eating dog poop or horse poop or whatever, I would be freaked out. If I saw humans doing it, I would lose my mind.
Nah, I would vomit. We had one of the trainers on our team. He had a bunch of dogs, but he had big dogs, but he also had pugs. The one pug would stand behind the big dog and wait, and then right out of there, like fresh out of the tap.
Oh God, that is awful.
Like it was like a soft serve machine.
And that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Let's go to Armani in Queens. Armani, with that vision in your mind, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. I don't know what to say. I'm sure you guys don't either. Yesterday, I was hoping the Giants would get a win because my friend is like, he's the fakest Cowboys fan in the
world.
They all
are. They all, you know what? They all are. There's like five legitimate Cowboys fans out there. That's it.
Yeah, they're frauds like LeBron. No, LeBron's a fraud, too.
He's the biggest fraud. Rooting for the Browns yesterday. Oh, give me a break.
Because the year before, he's a Chiefs fan, and the year before that, he's a Steelers fan. Now he's a Cowboys fan. So I just wanted the Cowboys to lose. I hate the Cowboys. Any team he likes, I hate them because he's the fakest fan in the world. But I just wanted to know what you guys are thinking on your head coaches, because yesterday I'm watching the Jets game, and like Saleh, a defensive-minded coach, every play I'm hearing, the announcers are saying, oh, Matt Ryan, right down the middle. Every single throw, he's like, it's wide open. What are the Jets' defense doing?
And then they attack the middle of the field.
Giants' offense, it's like, I understand like the Giants lost a lot of key players, but isn't that indicative that like the offense has the problem that like once you lose some key players, you just can't do anything against anyone's defense?
Come on, Armani, listen, the Giants aren't winning that game, and I'm not defending them at all. But to say they lost some key players, you lost your best offensive lineman by a mile. You lost your best playmaker. You lost your quarterback. You lost the guy you paid all that money to in Kenny Golladay. Come on. They didn't kind of lose some guys. They lost everybody.
Yeah, time out for a second. You lost your left tackle. It's your left tackle you lost. You end up losing your running back, your quarterback, your number one receiver. You went into the game without your most trusted receiver, no Sterling Shepard. Stop, please. I mean, let's not go there. I mean, the offense was decimated yesterday.
Right. You're not blaming the offense for yesterday. You're blaming the defense.
Yeah, the defense couldn't stop the run. They got gashed yesterday. Over 500 yards. The defense has been a problem all season long.
It hasn't been. I mean, from Bridgewater, I mean, all the way through. And it gets no easier this week with Stafford and company coming to town. Here's James Bradbury, who's been one of the big culprits of this defense on the Giants' defensive struggles yet again.
I can't really put my finger on why that is, but it starts with Monday. We got to show up, come to work Monday, correct our mistakes, and then throughout the week we got to execute at a high level so that when we get to Sunday we'll feel more comfortable out there.
Now, that makes you feel great. Well, what's wrong? I don't know. I can't. There's so many things I can't even put my finger on it, but we got to be better. Great.
Well, the problem is he can put his fingers on it. He just can't catch it.
Yeah.
What's the next place to touch now? At the end of the half, and then he's got the pass interference. The defense, everyone expected the defense, especially with the addition of Adoree Jackson, to be the strength of this team.
Well, you thought,
this
right? Xavier McKinney, year two, fully healthy, and Blake Martinez back, and you had Reggie Ragland, and I mean, it's going to be.
And then Bradbury,
so much
I mean, then he gets it. CeeDee Lamb runs right by him.
Right by him.
Julian Love is actually shaded towards CeeDee Lamb to help out Bradbury, and he's still late and doesn't get over there in time. I mean, and then how many times do you have to hear it? It's almost getting frustrating. It's like you got Bradbury, and you go out and you pay the money for Adoree Jackson, and you sit and watch them play defense, and it's like, could you have a bigger cushion with the wide receiver?
Well, they can't get pressure on the quarterback, and they don't get burned for touchdowns every play.
Yeah, but at one point, Aikman's like, oh, he's not even, like, he's watching the replay. He's like, he's running a route. It's not even against the defense because Adoree Jackson's so far off the ball. Like, why have corners like that then if that's how you're going to play?
No, you're not wrong. You could take average corners and drop them well into coverage.
I mean, look what the Jets are doing.
Right.
Surprisingly, I mean, the corners haven't been that bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know what happened to the defense. I don't know what happened to Bradbury. I mean, he was a bright spot last year.
And you get Aikman with gems yesterday. I mean, just gems. So, yeah, I don't think he's as good as he was last year. Oh, Troy. This is the analysis
sure, Troy,
we're looking
thanks.
For.
And the other thing, too, is, I mean, Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams. Like, if they had any hope yesterday, it was win on first down and stop the run. And they didn't do either of those things.
Were the Cowboys ever in, like, a second and 11?
No. And they made mistakes, too, or it would have been worse.
Well, yeah, it was a beautiful interception by the Giants. Almost picked him off again. Then Bradbury almost got him. Then he fumbled the snap.
Schultz drops a touchdown.
Yep.
I don't know. That was big at the end of the half, though. I mean, 10-10 didn't feel like it should be 10-10. Have a chance to make a pick.
But if that happens, if the Giants stop them and it's 10-10 going into the third quarter, and you don't have Daniel Jones, do you give them any chance to win that game? Any?
No, probably not.
No,
probably not. But, I mean, that's one of those plays in the game. Like, during the course of a game, that could be one of the plays. Like, someone, like, in that moment, something special has to happen. Right? Like, someone has to step up. D has to step up. You're undermanned. No one, I mean, at that point, it's how are we going to find a way to win this game? And the ball's in your hands. You make a nice read. Ball's in your hands. You can't make the play. And then next play, it's Amari Cooper for the touchdown.
Well, we've seen that multiple times this year. You saw it against Atlanta. You see it against Dallas. You see it, I mean, all the time, that this is what the Giants are. You know what? They're a bad football team, and I've told you that from the jump.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So RJ didn't know, and I had him grab the audio, and he is now hysterical over the call or lack thereof from something over the weekend. We'll play it right before we go around the league, but you're in store for really a terrific treat.
I'm going to need something. Put me in a good mood.
RJ, you would agree, right? Like, just phenomenal, yes? See?
It's special. It's special for sad reasons, but it's great.
It's wild is what it is. Like, it's shocking how wild it is. We will play it for you right at like 6:42, right there in that little nook. Now, all guests on DiPietro and Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear hotline. Introducing Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, paying homage to the original, invented over 100 years ago. This new non-aerosol formula features enhanced ingredients, an exceptional glide, and crisp fragrance for a shave experience like no other. Learn more at Barbasol.com. People are lined up. They want to talk about the Jets and the Giants, and who are we to stand in their way? 800-919-3776. This guy's typically the voice of reason. And when things go south for the Jets, he is, you know, kind of the rock of what we analyze and dissect. And that is Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. And let me tell you something. You know, I should have known better. I watched this product for over 60 years. And you know why? Just when you think they're taking a step forward, a new coaching staff, the new quarterback, they lay an egg in London. I mean, to come out there, and this is on the coaching staff, man. You come out there and you're not prepared to play. I mean, both sides of the ball, you know, I think LaFleur's in over his head. I told you that in week one, and it's starting to become more and more clear. You don't know what he's doing. Number two, defensively, like Rick mentioned, you have defensive ends covering tight ends. You go into this game pretty much, you know, you either shut down Patterson or you shut down Pitts. And they choose not to shut down either one of these players. And to give up one third down conversion, one after the other, and Saleh's a defensive coach. I mean, talk to Urbach, make a change. They didn't do anything different schematically. They didn't chip the receivers. They didn't double-team players. And I'm not even talking about the offensive side of the ball. I mean, this is an abomination. It doesn't even look like an NFL offense right now. You know, in training camp, they look like they had some decent skill position players. And to me, the way I sum this up, because I gave it thought because it was a morning game and I had afternoon to think about it, I think what they're doing, instead of taking players and trying to get the best out of their skill set, they're forcing players to fit their scheme, and they don't fit their scheme because they don't even know what type of scheme they want to run. I mean, this quarterback, listen, I love Wilson, and I still think he has a tremendous amount of potential, but right now, even last week, I mean, except for the three plays that he improvised on, he really didn't play that well. And yesterday, we just... I'm getting really concerned now that this could be Brownie Nagel part two.
Oh my God!
They don't know how to handle quarterbacks.
Let's not get crazy, Ira.
But look at it this way, okay? They don't have an experienced backup. Let's say he goes up to Foxborough, puts up another bad game up there. Don't you think at that point it would be time to sit this kid down for a couple of weeks, the way they sat Donald down?
How can you possibly do that?
Ira, here's the thing, though. You can't. First of all, you can't because you don't have a veteran backup, right? You can't do it. I mean, it's clear. He's going to throw him out there, and he's going to learn on the fly here, good or bad. But the other thing, that I just watched what Davis Mills did against New England.
Yep, I was just going to say that.
And he looked damn good against New England.
Let's be fair. Can I make this statement? That Davis Mills, his body of work against Zach Wilson, he looks better than Zach Wilson so far?
Well, because understand this, though. The thing that Zach Wilson struggles with is something that a guy like Davis Mills or a guy like Mac Jones doesn't. Like, it's making those easy throws that are right in front of you. And for some reason right now, Zach Wilson is struggling doing that. There are plays to be made. He's just not making them. Like the crazy splash plays, he can make those for some reason. He feels comfortable making those. But it's the ones that are right in front of him, the plays over the middle. All the plays that Matt Ryan was making look easy yesterday, Zach Wilson struggles with.
Well, that would worry me.
Well, but it's tough to get into a rhythm. It's tough to, and I'm not absolving Mike LaFleur at all because he's clearly in over his head. I mean, at least as bad as Adam Gase was, at least his first drive, the scripted portion of the play calling was actually decent.
Yeah, they used to score all the time on the first drive, and then it would fall apart.
No, I mean, the first quarter's been horrendous. And the other thing, too, I mean, defense was not good. Don't get me wrong, was not good, but... I mean, they were on the field for 93 plays against Tennessee. 93 plays.
That's a lot.
And then you turn around, and Atlanta has the ball for almost 12 minutes in the first quarter. 11 and a half minutes they had the ball for.
What did the Jets have, the six plays in the first quarter?
Six plays, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. You know, I'm upset today. You're upset today. But you know who's not? Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, take it. Just. I want to live vicariously through you for the next 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Omar.
Even Omar's not there. Good morning, Omar.
How are you?
Hello. Hello.
Good morning. How is everything? Good?
No, it's not good. You know what? I don't need you to sit here and twist a knife into my back. I'm not happy. He's not happy. You're thrilled. Go ahead. Take it. Go.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. As we stand today, I wanted to hear from Dave Rothenberg and Del Perro. Who is the best team in AFC? Right now, at this moment?
It's either the Bills or the Chargers, and I would probably go with the Bills.
Okay, and who is the best team in the NFC East? That will ruin Dave Rutherford day for
us. Well, what the hell is wrong with you? What kind of a savage are you? Seriously, I thought you were a good guy. No, you know what? You're a bad guy too. You know what? How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 47.
Do you remember Super Bowl 25?
Oh yes.
Does it still pain you when Norwood missed a field goal?
Memory. Pain.
Good. Good. Watch it again.
My teams are pain.
Good.
So I can enjoy it. If they have a good team and they have a good season, so I enjoy it. So let me hear that. Let me enjoy it too. You have your championship. I didn't even have my temper.
But I let you enjoy it. I said, let's bring him on. Let's let him have a minute. Then you got to take shots at me?
No, because I wanted to call you when you on the radio station come here and talk about, oh, the Yankees are too good of Boston Red Sox. Like, you do not give credit to other team when you think that other team is, whatever team you think is the best, you don't give that there are any plus points of other team. And I told you, they have a better manager. They put the game in play every time better than the Yankees. Yankees are home run hitters, and they do not put a play in the ball, and that is the reason they're going to lose that game. But I couldn't get here through that day. But you were like, oh, if they lose that game tonight, like the team that wins 93 games, you don't even give them a chance. That is insane. You don't give them a chance to other team. I understand Dallas is good, but whenever they're going to play another team, you don't give them the chance. Oh, they are superior. So I didn't give chance to Kansas City Chiefs. If, yesterday, yes, they have a chance to win.
I got
to
be honest, Omar, I got to be honest, and Rick, maybe you can help me. I don't even know what he's talking about.
I have no idea. I mean, more if that I shut down as soon as I realized he had no idea what my name was. I shut right down.
And thanks for the call. So what did he say? He said Dave Rothenberg and was it and the other guy?
No, it was like, DeViro. DeViro.
It's Dave. I thought he said Dave Rothenberg and the other guy. No, you were DeViro.
No, but he said, like when you know when you don't know someone's name.
Yeah,
like,
oh, sure.
Like, he was like, it's Dave Rothenberg and DeViro.
Oh, it's so good. RJ, can we hear what he said? So good. Get that audio when you can. We got the other audio that's a treat for you. We're going to have that. It's Dave Rothenberg, and it's I want to tell you about the Bills. And then I wanted to hear from him, and they taking shots at me.
Dave taking Rothenberg shots at you, the Yankees.
Del Piero.
Del Piero.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
Del Piero.
No, forget Del Piero. Listen to him at the beginning. It's like it's exactly what you do when you really have no idea what the person is.
He
like,
was defeated.
What the answer is.
He was completely defeated. It's Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
Del Piero. You know what? He might be closer to your name than you, in fact, were with your name when you called yourself DiPietro.
That may be how you pronounce it. I have no idea.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
Del Piero. Listen to me eating mango. I'm DiPietro.
It's Damer and DiPietro and
Del Piero. It's Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero. But he didn't even give it like a strong, like convictive, like Del Piero. It was
no,
like Dave Rothenberg. Let me bury it like Del Piero.
No, he has no idea. He didn't know my first name was. He was like, ah, Del Piero.
Del Piero. He listens to the show all the time.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
Del Piero. Oh, that's so good. And this is why I love the show. Because I didn't want to do the show today. I wanted to just stay in bed, sleep, put my head under the covers. I'm like, fine, we'll talk about the Giants. We'll talk about the Jets. And little did I realize I'd get to do it with Del Piero. I mean, little did I realize.
Dave Rothenberg and Del Piero.
I love the nervous laugh. Oh, it's so good. Oh. Del Piero.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Did you have an issue with the tweet that Mekhi Becton put out yesterday?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, how that locker room dynamic is. I understand exactly what Coach Sala is trying to do as far as build the culture and everything else. But, I mean, to all of a sudden have, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Mekhi Becton's going to be one of your most important players. I mean, he's at home watching, and he decides during the game he wants to, you know, tweet out, unleash Mims. So, I mean, the players clearly feel a way about it.
Yeah. I would imagine that the coach did not love that.
How could he? I'm sure someone brought it to his attention after the game. I mean, he's trying to use Mims as an example. It's a second-round pick. It's not his guy. Has all the physical ability in the world, but, I mean, there's some kind of disconnect. If it's, you know, how hard he works in the classroom, his unwillingness to play special team, whatever it ends up being. I mean, at his side, how fast he runs, how bad the offense has been, and oh, sprinkle on the fact it seems like every time you actually do target him, he makes a play. I mean, he had that 27-yard catch and run yesterday.
Yep.
Like, I can understand both sides.
You got to play him. He's too talented. He's too talented of a player.
But sometimes that's what players
swallow your pride.
Listen, I understand both sides. I can see both sides of it. As a player, it happens in every sport. Like, guys always talk. Like, it could be, you know, who the starting goalie is going to be. Whatever it ends up being, guys will talk. Like, how come this guy is playing? Why is this guy playing power? Whatever it ends up being, guys always talk because they always have their own opinion. And the coach on the other side of it is kind of thinking big picture. Like, I'm trying to set a certain standard here as the new head coach. But this is what happens when you lose. When you're as bad as the Jets have been, it makes it hard to build a culture when you consistently lose. Because no one wants to hear that, you know, Denzel Mims isn't playing because, you know, he doesn't know, you know, all the wide receiver positions or whatever else the excuse is, because you see his talent and you're saying, well, we can't use that with how bad this offense is.
Yeah, and now you have players that aren't even making the trip calling you out for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what you want.
Not a good look.
No, it's not a good look at all. And that's, I'm sure that'll be addressed.
It has to be. All right, so we're going to go around the league in a minute, but I don't know if you heard this, and I'm hoping you didn't, because it is sensational. RJ hadn't heard it, and he could not believe it. So you saw the Alabama loss to Texas A&M on Saturday night, right?
I did, yeah.
I mean, just an incredible game. It was a really great game. Texas A&M kicks a walk-off field goal. Field goal at the buzzer to win the game. Now, Alabama very infrequently loses a game, yes? Very
Correct.
Infrequently. Okay. Did you hear the final call on Alabama radio?
No.
Okay. Let me set the stage. So Texas A&M, I think it's tied at 38, goes for the game-winning field goal. And the voice of Alabama has been doing it for like 40 years. Name is Eli Gold, one of the best in the business. I want to leave our mics up, because if not, we might get shut off because nothing happens. Take a listen to the call. Game-winning field goal. Tell me how anybody would have any idea. Leave our mics up. Let's take a listen. Texas A&M for the win.
What happens?
Now the kick has gone through. Through the uprights. It's good. This is on radio, mind you. Just wait. So you would have no idea, other than maybe hearing the crowd noise, that the kick has gone through. But just wait to the first words that he said.
The league is going to get themselves $250,000, because everybody who does not have a seat and those who did have now flooded the field here at Kyle Field and College Station. The scoring drive, 8 plays, 54 yards.
Well, I mean, come on. How embarrassing is that call?
That's like a Stump Rothenberg segment, is what that is.
What, with live natural noise?
Just the silence.
I mean, it's nothing. It's the biggest game of college football so far. You're on radio. And I know the TV broadcasters will say, well, let it breathe and let the pictures tell the story. There are no pictures. You are painting the pictures for people. Oh, what a brutal call. And that, you know what you got to do also? Because you'll love this. You got to watch the video. There's video of these guys in the booth. The color analyst is looking at the play-by-play guy like, are you going to talk? Are you going to say anything?
He's got to say something. He's going to let people know that the kick was made. He's got to.
He didn't say anything.
He said nothing.
Nothing. That's Alabama analysis.
Because the game is at Texas A&M, and you hear the crowd celebrating, so, I mean, I guess you would know that they made it, but otherwise you'd have no clue.
Could you imagine, though, you're driving, like, your hands on the steering wheel, your last play, God, what's going to happen, and he just doesn't say anything?
No, I could not. If I was, like, a legitimate Alabama football fan, and I'm listening to the radio.
I guess you assumed it went through, but then his first words are, they're going to get fined for this. they've stormed the field without credentials.
I understand he was in shock, though, too. I get it. But
come on,
job to at least let people know. No, I'm not. I'm not making an excuse. You got to do your job. But that was, I mean, what was it? I mean, Alabama was 100 straight against unranked opponents.
Yeah, I think more.
I think it was 100.
It was 100 on the nose.
And I think he was, I mean, in, Nick Saban had never lost to a former assistant. That was the first loss to a former assistant.
But just say, like, the kick is up and it's good. And then let the story be told by the crowd going crazy. Oh, that was.
But I don't even think that was what he was trying to do, though. I don't think he was trying to have the crowd.
I think he was like a child. That's what I would do. That's out of my playbook.
Yeah, but you probably would have heard, like, the headset get slammed up.
Oh, yeah, no, you would have. You would have heard, like, ah, DePiro. Stormed off. You take it. Monty, you take it from here. All right.
And DePiro.
I love the nervous laughter. Like, I know. he realized at that moment, I don't know this man's name.
Exactly right. When you put him on the spot, he realized that he had no idea what my name is.
Right. He's like Rothenberg and DePiro.
He still doesn't know what my first name is.
No. He doesn't know your last name either.
But at least he was something like in the vicinity. Like he kind of knew it was a D and a P.
Yeah. We ended with an O, but that's about all he had. That was Del Piero. He listens to the show all the time. I must say 30 times a show, it's DiPietro and Rothenberg. He doesn't know.
Did he say he was only 47 years old?
Yeah.
How old do you think he was? For some reason.
What do you think? He was like 70?
Yeah, no, not 70. Like in his 60s.
No, he hasn't.
For some reason, my vision of Omar was he was older than 47.
Really?
47 feels too young for him.
No, he's right there.
Although with his stress level, I don't know if he would make it that long.
He might not live a long life the way he reacts to everything. But he does enjoy Del Piero and Rothenberg. So let's get rolling. Let's
like
take
a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, or just an Italian. No wonder you don't get into the Italian Hall of Fame. By the way, if you were Del Piero, you might have a chance. let's go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, let's go around the league. There were some doozies yesterday. I mean, Minnesota, they got me very, very nervous yesterday because they had a 17-7 lead, and then there's a field goal that's up, and it's announced good on the telecast, and then I'm told it, in fact, was 5 yards short, and then Detroit comes down and kicks a field goal, and then Madison fumbles it away, and then Detroit scores to make it 17-16. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? At least I'll have a chance to kick the field goal late because I took Minnesota in Survivor, so I'll be okay. And then they go for two. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. And then they make it, and now I'm panicking, but all my trust in Kirk Cousins. Down the field, the Vikings come. Game-winning field goal, and they get out of Dodge with a very stressful two-point victory.
Yeah, bull bleep, you know what I'm talking about. You and RJ both had the Vikings in Survivor.
Yeah, and we both
garbage.
You had the Patriots in Survivor.
I'm not saying I had a great pick either. I don't know why I try to get cute. I survived too, barely.
Barely is right. What were you down, 22-9 at one point?
Yeah, it wasn't looking good. It was not looking good.
Did you see in that game, by the way, Houston's winning 22-9, and they go to punt the football. And instead of just normally punting the football away, they have to do this special thing where they try to draw New England offsides, and they have the punter closer to the line of scrimmage. And what happened? He punted it right into the back of the up man.
Yes.
And it goes
sometimes
out of bounds, like parallel to the line of scrimmage.
Sometimes they try to get too cute, man. But I was in my mind watching that Detroit game. The Vikings-Detroit game, just trying to figure out what I was going to order for dinner that you and RJ were going to pay for.
Well, you know what? Nothing is what it's going to be at the moment. And we're all of us, all four of us are alive heading into week six of the NFL. We picked the Steelers to win. Really, all they had to do was win outright because we had them in a pick'em against the K-Show. And, you know, from the jump, that looked very, very good. Pittsburgh kind of had their way at home. And in what felt like a must-win for the Steelers yesterday.
They had to win that game. And that pick was less about their team. I mean, they got a really good defense, but more about Mike Tomlin and what a good coach he is. Najee Harris is a stud.
Yep.
I mean,
and they finally used him yesterday, actually.
Yeah, to the point where like he's out there stretching his calves because he's cramping up with his calves. Chase Claypool's a beast, man. Chase Claypool is a beast. But I felt good about that pick when we made it, and then on top of it, K-Show loses. Great, personally for us, great day. Otherwise,
it,
not so.
It
good.
Really was. Yeah, with our selections, great. Otherwise, it was a disaster. Ben Roethlisberger after the game, winning was the only objective yesterday.
Winning the football game. We didn't care if it was pretty ugly. We just wanted to win the game, and we did that. And it took all of us, and it took the whole game.
And they played well, and you know, Pittsburgh always finds a way to rally. Tomlin,
he's hurt
never.
On almost. Did he get hurt on almost every single play?
Every single play. I think he. I mean, I don't even think. I know he loves that narrative of I'm so hurt. Watch me rise from the ashes and find a way to play down the stretch of this game.
Yeah, I mean, remember back when he hurt his foot. And it's like his foot was hurt, so he had to wear one cleat was a little bit bigger. And rather than just wear the same cleats, like he had the one that was completely different, so you would notice.
You need
like,
to know. He wants you to know exactly how awful it is. Tom Brady, what did he throw for 5 touchdowns yesterday against Miami?
5. Yep.
I mean, he's incredible. That team is, they might be better this year than they were last year.
Offensively, I mean, that's without Gronk, too. Like, if offensively, the amount of weapons, the way he can spread the ball around is right up there as one of the best in the league. Defense isn't, I don't know if the defense is as good as it was later on in that season last year.
Well, we have another, you know, 11 games to go and see what they turn themselves into defensively. Here is Tom Brady yesterday after the game on the growth of, he's a star receiver, Antonio Brown.
I give him a lot of credit, you know. He's been through a lot, show a lot of mental toughness, a lot of resilience, a lot of support, you know, from a lot of different people in his life at different times. So everyone just really wants him to succeed.
He's this is why he's had so many chances. He's an immensely talented player.
Yeah, but what he just said, I mean, that's what separates Brady from everybody else. Like, I don't think we give enough credit for that, what kind of leader he is. Like, he's Tom frickin' Brady, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's one of the most recognizable people on the planet. Like, he is, like, in terms of celebrity, forget just sports celebrities. Like, he's one of the biggest celebrities in the world. And he's able to make all those guys in the locker room feel like they're his equal, and he cares about each and every one of them.
That's right. That's what great
at
leaders
44.
Are able to do. And there's
44.
No doubt he's a phenomenal leader.
At 44 years old, though, you know how hard it is? I mean, think about how young the kids in that locker room are. What does he have in common with a lot of those guys in that locker room? Probably nothing.
Solely football, I would think.
Yeah, but, I mean, he does a great job. And those guys will do anything for him.
Yeah, and he is just continues to play brilliantly. We thought the Giants' defense would be better than it is, right?
Yes.
I think it's fair to say. But is there a bigger disappointment defensively than the Washington
No.
football team?
Nope.
Well, I mean, they're frauds is what they are. They stink. They get picked apart by Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston, anybody they go up against. They are absolutely horrendous defensively.
Yeah. That's right up there is one of the biggest surprises so far through 5 weeks is how bad that defense has been. I mean, to the point where, I mean, there were people on TV, on the radio, saying they may have the best defense in the league. Their defense could, as far as matching up with Tampa, their defense would match up great against Tampa. They should win the NFC East. Oof. I don't know about that.
No, they're lousy. And for their troubles, you know, who comes to town this week? I would imagine a very angry Kansas City Chiefs team comes to Washington.
And Taylor Heinicke had one of the most mind-numbing interceptions yesterday. That throw he made from the end zone,
yep.
The interception, oh,
yep.
My God.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Is there a better team in the NFL right now than the Buffalo Bills?
Right now, no.
They went into Kansas City and waxed the Chiefs.
Yeah, they whacked them. I mean, the addition of Emmanuel Sanders was big for their offense.
How about Dawson Knox?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just think what that does, though. I mean, there at Steph Diggs, you saw the impact he made.
Yep.
I mean, you know that Josh Allen loves Cole Beasley. And now I got Emmanuel Sanders, too. And that defense is playing lights out.
The defense is good. And I think that's the difference this year. Their defensive line is deep and it's good. They have a lot of talent there.
Dave, when Josh Allen starts using his legs and running the football, I mean, that offense is tough to stop.
Really tough. That is a really, really tough football team. And you got to think that they're, I think I saw this, that they have the easiest schedule the rest of the way. They have to make it go through Buffalo this year. They have to.
Yeah, but you got to imagine, too, though, just confidence-wise. And I think Sean McDermott said it after last season that would Kansas City would be the measuring stick. So for them to handle Kansas City the way they handled Kansas City.
They destroyed them. Absolutely
yeah.
Destroyed them. And then one last one, which was just a sensational game. Chargers and the Browns up and down the field. 90 points scored in this one. Might have been 89 points. But just phenomenal. Great offense from the Browns. Great running game. Herbert, I said it last week. If age is an issue, he's my second quarterback I would take off the board right now. And he did nothing to dispel that this week. He was wonderful against the Browns.
Yeah, that's a well-coached team. I mean, that makes a huge difference, right? Like, they were pretty – I mean, they've always been talented, but they've been injury-prone, and they found ways to lose games. You can tell there. I mean, that's a well-coached team.
He's a good football coach. How funny was it, them dragging Austin Eckler into the end zone on the final drive yesterday?
I actually put that in my notes, that the Browns dragged him into the end zone. He was trying not to score. They're like, no, you're going to score. We're going to drag him into the end zone.
You just got to go down. Just take a knee. You can't even stay up anymore.
No, and that was – how about when he misses the extra point? How about when the Chargers miss the extra point?
Right. And then it's 42-41.
Like, oh, no. I can't imagine how terrible you would feel doing that.
But speaking of missing kicks, and I know we got to go, but speaking of missing kicks, how about Mason Crosby? At least he had a chance to redeem himself once, twice, three times, and finally, in overtime, hit the game-winning field goal.
It was amazing, the end of that game. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, the back and forth.
First of all, he tried 7 field goals yesterday. He made 4. But I don't understand why these coaches settle. I thought McCarthy doing it a couple of weeks ago with the Cowboys was criminal, settling for a 56-yard field goal. Why they get conservative at 50 yards? You have to get closer than a 50-yard field goal.
We talked about this, though, with field goal kicking. I mean, now the expectation is that those guys make those field goals
on a regular basis. A lot of them don't. And Cincinnati thought they made it. They missed it. And Crosby missed it.
That's embarrassing for the kicker, though, too.
Bunch.
Celebrating like he made it.
Well, he's dancing around like he made the game-winning kick against Green Bay to go to 4-1. I wonder who had to tell him, like, hey, that was no good.
How tough is Joe Burrow, though, too, playing the rest of that game with and then having to be taken to the hospital with a throat contusion?
Oh, and throat contusion sounds awful.
Oh, that sounds brutal.
Right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, that sounds terrible. He is one tough guy.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.